The president would like to speak to your tailpipe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. President Obama is expected to announce today the first ever national emissions limit for cars and trucks and a new mileage standard, 35.5 miles per gallon. It is going to cost you. White House officials say consumers should expect to pay an extra $1,300 per vehicle by 2016. They also say you can recover that money at the pump since you'll be buying less gas. Automaker Porsche says it's looking for an outside investor. The company needs help after its merger deal with Volkswagen fell apart. From our European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
One German newspaper calls this a modern-day version of David and Goliath, only this time David lost the battle. First, the much smaller company Porsche tried to take over the giant Volkswagen and failed. Then the two companies agreed to merge instead, but that fell apart when they couldn't agree on who should wind up in the driver's seat. This leaves Porsche with a problem. The company borrowed more than $12 billion to buy a major stake in Volkswagen. Howard Wieldon is with the BGC Group. He says the sports car company now needs the support of an outside shareholder.
Over the next few years, we will see a separation rather than a combination here. Porsche will go out and they will try and refund and do things in a different way.
Wieldon says it's likely the company will look to a sovereign wealth fund in the Middle East for new capital. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
German stocks are leading the way. European markets are up 1-2% now following yesterday's Wall Street party. The Dow zoomed up 235 points to 8,504. Asian markets added 2% and 3% today. Home Depot is reporting decent quarterly results this morning. Earnings rose 44%. Its competitor Lowe's reported better than expected results yesterday. Congress today takes up the problem of regulating credit rating agencies. Moody's, Standard & Poor's, Fitch Ratings, it turns out they overrated a lot of securities that, as we know, ended up plummeting in value. One thing some observers would like to change is the rating agency's protection under the First Amendment. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The rating agencies started out as publications. They still claim the same freedom of speech status a newspaper might. That makes it tough to sue them and win. Banking consultant Bert Ely says it's time that changed.
In my opinion, if the rating agencies could be sued for negligence, they probably would not have rated a lot of these complex products in the first place, and we would not have the global financial crisis that we do today.
But Sylvan Raines of R&R Consulting says it's not the First Amendment protections that are the problem. It's everyone's understanding of how these complicated securities work. He says here's what should happen.
If we really sat down around a table and we said, okay, we will not leave this room until we are all clear in our heads how structured securities shall be valued.
He says all that slicing and dicing of loans isn't going away. He says if the financial industry doesn't work out how to value this stuff, the whole crisis could repeat itself. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
As the financial crisis has eased, some major banks have formally applied to return their bailout money. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, possibly J.P. Morgan, and others. And the Financial Times reports an interesting wrinkle. Apparently, the government is going to choose a group of banks that will be allowed to return the money together. This is to avoid a rush for the exits where banks jostle for the right to say, we repaid our money first.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. American Public Media explores the economic crisis with four new documentaries supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
China has some high-flying tech companies, and almost all of them are publicly traded on exchanges outside China. For example, China's equivalent of Google, Baidu, is listed on the NASDAQ. Well, Beijing's had enough of that. The government's just announced plans to create its own version of the NASDAQ, or so they hope. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
China's financial system hasn't been much of a friend to private startups. The historically government-run economy has channeled most of the loans to lumbering state-owned companies. These firms also tend to get Beijing's permission to raise money on the stock market. In fact, Arthur Krober at consultancy Dragonomics calls China's stock market an ATM for state firms.
State companies use capital less efficiently than private companies. They generate less economic growth and less jobs.
But now Beijing is chasing an innovation economy and has finally decided to give promising private growth companies a market of their own. It's called the Growth Enterprise Board. The GEB hopes to nurture Chinese tech stars, the same way NASDAQ helped Google and eBay and Intel. It's very ambitious, though. After all, the country that brought us paper and gunpowder and the compass has gone dry lately in the invention department. Securities lawyer Scott Guan.
In order for knowledge to be commercialized, it's very important to have an effective growth enterprise board.
But Guan says many countries try to clone NASDAQ and fail. Companies and investors stay away, often because prices fluctuate wildly. And that's a big risk in China.
Chinese people, we like speculation. That's why the market tend to be volatile.
So Beijing has built stabilizers into the new exchange to try to deter fly-by-nighters. Companies that go public need to show a 3-year track record of profits. On the NASDAQ, it's just one. And in China, key investors won't be able to cash out for 2 years. Still, Ping Zhou at GE Asset Management hears Chinese venture capitalists cheering.
They will be very excited because you just have one more channel to exit their investment.
The new board hosts its first IPO this fall, and it may take years to be a serious global competitor. Either way, it's a welcome addition to China's capital market toolkit, which right now is pretty empty. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, did America's moms and dads see the meltdown coming before the economists did? New census figures show just before the earliest stages of the recession, there was a steep decline in the population growth of babies. This is back when the stock market was still flying high, unemployment was relatively low, but homes and gas were expensive. There were some early bank failures happening. Maybe those would-be parents detected the signs and did some family planning. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.